Good morning. Today we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Worst things could happen, Doug. We're going to be in 1 John. I seem to mess up everything, you know, but we're going to make it through. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. Okay, let me just, real quick, so it's not distracting. How do I get it off, real quick? I seem to fix everything too. 1 John chapter 5. But before we get there, I want to say, where is he at? Ron, man, that was lovely. That kind of got me hyped up. He said our value is in the blood of Christ. That's marvelous. That is where our value is found. Not in ourselves, not in our families, not in our friends, but our value is found in the blood of Christ Jesus that was shed for us. 1 John chapter 5, that's where we're going to be. 1 John chapter 5, it was written about 85-95 A.D., around that time. So this is after the destruction of Jerusalem. But if you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 23, I'll flip over there with you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4 is where we'll start. Matthew 23, verse 4 and 5. This is the destruction of Jerusalem Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is telling his people, he's telling his disciples, listen, the destruction is coming. And once the destruction of Jerusalem comes, the second coming is coming. I'm going to be coming, and don't let people mislead you, because we know there are people in this world that will, if you let them talk long enough and they have enough intellect, they're smooth enough to have us believing something that we shouldn't be believing in the first place. And verse 3 of chapter 24, Matthew says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will happen and what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. No one misleads you. In context, he's talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, the hypocrites, those false teachers. He's telling them, don't let anyone deceive you and tell you that I'm not coming or there's someone other than me coming. He says, don't let them deceive you or mislead you. Then in verse 5 he says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will mislead you. You will be hearing of rumors of wars. See that you are not afraid, so that these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom versus kingdom, and in various places will famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs, the emotional distress and stuff like that. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you into tribulation and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. This is Jesus. He's prophesying these things. Verse 10 says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in context, but today we have a lot of false teachers. Amen? Are there false teachers? We see false teachers on TV. Some of our friends may be false teachers and different things like that. Go to 2 John. 2 John, this is kind of the intro to all this stuff. 2 John. I usually don't like flipping around, but we're going to flip around a little bit today just to kind of get the context of it. 2 John. 2 John verse 7 says this. It says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves," he says, "watch yourselves, that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." So he wants you and I to be aware of what's going on, be aware of the deceivers, be aware of the antichrist, be aware of those who are trying to mislead you, because we know, again, we know there are those who are trying to mislead. We know there are preachers that will preach and try to, they preach prosperity, they preach this and that, other they preach themselves, they preach business, and they preach all these things except the gospel of Christ Jesus. And it's funny how these some of these preachers, they're like making $52 million a year, and they're preaching the gospel in its truest form, and there's people still struggling. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm not one of those preachers. Definitely not one of those preachers. I am not making $52 million. I am not trying. I have no reason to mislead you at all. My suit was bought at the thrift store, $9.99, so we're good. I'm not going to preach anything that is not of the gospel. But he says, be aware of these deceivers. Be aware of them. Be aware. Then 1 John is a continuation, just so we know this. Back to 1 John. 1 John is a continuation of the gospel, John. So John is really trying to get a message to these believers. He's writing to a group of believers. And in the gospel, John, don't go there. I'll just go there. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 30, this is the whole purpose for this whole writing. John chapter 20, verse 30, it reads this. It says, "Therefore," it says, why this gospel was written. This is why it was written, why John is writing. "Therefore, many other signs Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name," so that you can have eternal life in his name. Then go over to, back to 1 John chapter 5, where we're going to be today. 1 John chapter 5, it says this. Again, this is just a continuation of his writing and his whole purpose. He says in verse 11, he says, "And the testimony is this." Well, what's the testimony? "That God has given us," you and I, "eternal life, and his life in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son," Jesus, "has the Son of God, does not have the life." Verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Has anyone here ever doubted their faith? Anybody ever doubted? Some of us doubted our faith. Situations, first off, we've all doubted us on some level. Situations and tribulations come in our lives. Some of us have lost our parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents. Some of us in here lost our kids. And life is hard. Life happens. Life happens. And tomorrow is definitely uncertain of what may happen. And we have got to protect and watch ourselves and our faith and what we truly believe and what we believe in, because there are things in this life that will happen that will cause us to doubt. Why would God ever allow a parent to see their child pass away, suffer? Why would God ever allow a child to see their... Why would these things happen? And death is a part of life, and life is also a part of life. I mean, so why these things happen, and these things come by us, and sometimes we get startled. Sometimes we're shook. And we want to know, what can we believe in, God? We need to believe in something. Give me something, God. And he says, we have given you something. And sometimes we wonder, and sometimes we take hold of things that aren't true. Sometimes we're so desperate for something that we think is certain, that we grab hold of these truths that are really lies. The temporal instead of the eternal. And we hold on to these things. And then we start thinking about the things that we don't know, rather than the things we do know. And in 1 John, he is preaching to us and telling us today, you can have trust in the Son because you do know, and you do have faith, and your faith is going to show you what you know. He says in chapter 5 of 1 John, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know. We're going to go through these we know statements. He says, by this we know that the love, that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And there are people in this room right now striving to overcome this world. And I have great news. We have overcome the world. Amen? We have overcome the world. Not of your strength and not of my strength, but we have overcome the world. Verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. That is our faith. Where is your faith? Overcoming the world with his faith. He says, verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, we have a hope. We have a hope. People, like, I want you to hear me when I say this. We have an eternal blessing. We have an eternal hope. There's the things that we've taken hold of in this life that have left us, that have disappointed us, left us hurt, physical, mental, emotional scars. But he says, God has sent us Jesus. And he says, here he is. And through him, belief in him, you can have eternal life and overcoming this world through your faith that you have. Then he goes on and says, this is the one who came by the water and the blood, Jesus Christ. Not the water only, but with water and with the blood. So when we were immersed in Christ Jesus, he says, you came in contact with the blood. And because you come in contact with the blood, you come in contact with the water. Those two are one and the same. And then guess where we met? Guess what met up there? It was the Spirit, he said. He says, in the water and the blood, and it was the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. You can't have one without the other. So we have this purification. We are purified through the water of Christ in Christ Jesus. By his blood we have been saved. And then he says, we have the Spirit that is our spokesman and will guide us into all that we need to know. We have something here to stay. We have overcome the world through faith. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. So again, he says, if we have received the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. First John, they had other issues. He said, those will come to mislead you. There are people here right now in this world that will try to mislead you. And he says, here we are, and we have been testified. The testimony of God is greater. The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made himself a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. Key verses right here says, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life into this life into his Son. He who has the Son has this life. And he's written these things so that we can believe, and that we may know that we have eternal life. We don't have to doubt. Verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have before Jesus, that if we ask anything according to him, he hears us. So why does that matter, that we know that we have anything that we ask? Go to James chapter 1, why this is important. This lovely testimony, that's key, but we don't have to wonder about anything. He says in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 5. And this goes with the question. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence in which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to Him, He will hear us." Why does that matter, and what does he mean? What does that matter? Chapter 1 of James says, "But if anyone asks of wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith." He must ask in faith without doubting. "For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from God, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." But so he says, when we ask God, we have anything we ask. So when you fear or when you doubt, he says, go to God. Have the faith to go to God and ask. When you ask him, he hears you. And when we're living that lifestyle, walking in the light as he's in the light, we are constantly cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And because we are cleansed, we can ask anything. And we don't have to be scared because he is here for us. Then he goes, drop down to 15. He says, "And we know." I love. We don't have to preach on things we think of or might think or we doubt it. We have these doubts. He says, we can preach on the things we know. Look at all those statements. We know. By this we know we have the love of the children of God. By this we know we have eternal life. If we know, we know he hears us in whatever we ask. And then he says, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask of God, who will for him give life. So if you see your brother in sin that's not leading to death, what does that even mean? What sin is not leading to death? He's saying if you see your brother in sin, he sinned one time and then he repents and he starts moving on, he's not walking in that lifestyle of sin, he's good to go. Encourage him and keep him moving along, because people are in this life and they're coming to deceive and mislead. So encourage your brother, he says. He shall ask of God, and he will, and God will, God's grace will give him that life to those who commit sin that's not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for him. So if we see brothers and sisters in Christ, he's saying, if you see them in sin and they're not willing to repent, he says, let them go. If they want to believe the lie and they want to be deceived, there's some things we can't do. And I don't want you to make intercessory prayer for him if he's not going to get out of that lifestyle. And then it says in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death, and that is a repented sin. First John chapter 1, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we do not sin, we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word is not in us. So he says, and all unrighteousness is sin, and there is not a sin leading to death. And that sin is that repented sin. And then he drops into verse 18 and says, again, we know something. He says, we know that we are of God. We know we're of God. How do we know we are of God? Go back to Gospel of John, chapter 1. This is really cool, I think. Go to John chapter 1. Okay, this is where... Okay, I need to calm down. About to get excited. Okay, let me read this verse again. Okay, he says, we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So verse 19 says, we know that we are of God. How do we know we are of God? In the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 11 it says, Jesus came to his own, and those were not, and those who were his own, the Jews, did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in the name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of will of man, but of God. He says, we have the right to be called children of God. That is an encouragement. Amen? That is an encouragement. He says, how do we know we're children of God? Because we've been given the right to be called children of God. If you have accepted Jesus, you have the right to be called a child of God. Then look at verse 14 in chapter 1. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and of truth. Whoa! That's relationship. Jesus came down to us in the flesh and said, listen, I know you guys can't make it on your own. You guys need some help. Amen? We need some help. He said, we need some help. And then he says, the Word became flesh. Jesus dwelt among man, giving them a way to be saved and be called children of God, not of blood or the flesh, but of the seed of God coming down from heaven. We have a Savior, and we know these things because this is what the gospel has taught us, and evidence shown it. We have historical evidences of these things, of Jesus. And we can be called children of God. Back to chapter 5, verse 19. It says, we know we are children. How do we know? Because we've been given that right to choose God and be called children. And he says, and that the whole world lies. How do we know the whole world lies? Stay there in John. John chapter 3. Is this cool with you guys? Okay, let me just ask. Because I'm feeling the vibe. Is this cool with you guys? Because I'm having fun with the scriptures. Are we enjoying the scriptures? Amen? Amen if we're enjoying the scriptures. Because this is the Word of God. This is not my stuff. I said I can't come up with this stuff on my best day. But look at this. How do we know that the world lies in God? Look at chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Jesus. And he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has not been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. We've been in that state before, amen? I know I have. I've been in that state. Y'all can lie, but I've been in that state. We've been in that state. Well, we've been in the darkness, and we weren't searching for the light, but he came to us and took that first step in Jesus and giving him to us so that we can have a way to eternal life. And that is why John is writing to encourage you and I that we can know that we have eternal life. And then he says, but for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrote in God. That is encouragement. So how do we know that the world is in the power of the evil one? John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And then it goes on again, we know these things. In verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. How do we know that Jesus has come to give us understanding? Let's go to John. Y'all are getting tired of flipping back. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14 says this. John 17, sorry about that. John 17. I'm lying. John 14. John 14, verse 16, he says, how do we know that Jesus has come? This is that assurance again. He says, Jesus prophesying, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live also. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's relationship. That's relationship. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas asked the question, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the words which you heard and not mine, but the words that you have heard are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoke to you while I abide with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance and understanding all that I have said to you. So how do we know that Jesus has come? Because we have the Holy Spirit, he said. We have the Holy Spirit. We know that he has come. And he's going to guide us in that understanding. And because he's guided us in that understanding, we know that we testify to the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And then by that we know we practice the truth. By that we know we have eternal salvation. We know we have fellowship with him because we walk in the light as he's in the light. We know we love the children of God. We know we have eternal life. We know. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to come up with our own schemes because he's given us something that overcomes the world, and that is our faith and what we know. And we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Don't allow the idols or the deceivers to mislead you. And then I'll just read this. Don't go to it. John 17. He reads this. He says, Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to the heavens. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. That applies to us. We have been given a work to do. Encouraging others with what we know. Encouraging others with assurance. Assuring others with the faith that overcomes the world. John 16:33, Jesus speaks and says this. The things I have spoken, he says, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoke to you so that in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. Because I have overcome the world. In the beginning, Jesus couldn't have said that. Jesus couldn't say, I overcome the world, because he had to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus himself became obedient, even to the point of death. Became obedient to the Father. So he grew in knowledge, understanding, grew in obedience, so that he could be faithful to the Father. So his faith and obedience in the Father allows him to say, give to us, take courage, I have overcome the world. We, at the same time, could not have said that before, just like Jesus. But because of our obedience, of our faith in God, we can now say, we overcome the world, and we can know it. If you have doubts and fears, remove them. God has given you the faith to overcome the world. Amen? And we have got to take that and believe it and understand it and really stick by it, because he has written. The only reason John is writing is so that you and I can believe that we have eternal life believing in the Son of Christ Jesus. That's it. one thing, not many things. Nobody has to mislead us. I'm gullible sometime. Give me something good. I might listen to it, you know. But Jesus has given me the faith to know where I'm going to be in that assurance. If you have been doubting and you have that, you know, and you lack that assurance that God has, there's a time set aside in this moment that you can have with God and allow God's people to nourish you and show you the truth and build up your faith. So if you have those needs and that encouragement, now is the time where the song of encouragement is sung.